Amen. Appreciate what's gone before us this morning. Certainly rejoice in those things that we've heard. We do hear, obviously, a lot this time of the year about the birth of Christ. And I used to think that, well, because everybody else is talking about that, I'm not going to talk about that. But I've come to the conclusion that it's our turn. That what we're blessed to understand about it, that we need to preach those things. And so I will take a text from this portion of the scripture that speaks about the birth of Christ. But I want to go to after, I'm in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I encourage you, if you haven't already, to read the first couple of chapters of Matthew, the first couple of chapters of Luke, to refresh your mind about what the Bible actually says about the birth of Christ. Okay? And in Luke chapter 2, let's see how much time we got here. I'll begin reading in the beginning of chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. That word tax there has reference to an enrollment, you know, that to come up with a list of taxpayers, if you will, so that they would tax them later. So there was a census, if you will. Now, it's interesting. When you're reading the commentaries, and sometimes you get a nugget or two out of the commentaries, this happens to be a historical item. It's not something that the Bible clearly tells us, so it's something we got out of the Bible instead of in the Bible. But it's interesting, if you read John Gill, he says that this Caesar had intended to do that 27 years earlier. But there was a disturbance in the kingdom that required his attention, and so it took that long for him to get back to it. Now, I'm telling you, that's not in the Bible, but I'm just telling you, it's a historical item. But it let's say, okay, if that's true, then how wonderful when you see these things coming to pass, which, by the way, this is something God had purposed to do before the foundation of the world, right? And so a lot of things had to be in place in order for these things to be brought about. And we're certainly not talking about the absolute predestination of all things, that everything that happened is something that God caused. But what I am going to tell you is that there are some things that had to be God providentially intervening in order for his purpose to come to pass at the right time. It was in the fullness of time that God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. All right? And so there was a time that had been prophesied that for Christ to come. All right? So, but just think about it. If that had happened 27 years earlier, it's very likely that Mary and Joseph wouldn't even have been around, and if so, they would have been a whole lot younger, wouldn't they? All right? So God does these things according to his timetable, bringing these things to pass. All right? So it says, verse 2, this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, all right, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Was it important for them to be in Bethlehem at that particular time? Yeah, because that's one of the prophecies, wasn't it, of where Jesus would be born. Imagine that. All right. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. You remember, Jewish marriages, there was a covenant made when the children were young, and there would come a time when they would actually come together and consummate the marriage. All right? But this is saying his espoused wife being great with child. Okay? Another reason why they needed to be in Bethlehem that time. All right? All right? And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I have to pause at that thought. That this is not something that the world readily receives. This is not something that the world has room for. Does he have room for you in your heart? And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I'm going to say that all there is all under consideration. All manner of people. Herod certainly didn't enjoy the news, did he? Okay. So all manner of people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He's already Savior. Which is Christ. Oh, Christ, the anointed one, the one that should come, the one that God had been speaking of all the way back to the Genesis when he's speaking to the serpent and that one that would bruise the serpent's head. Christ, the Lord. We've already heard wonderfully this morning. Christ being the Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, the brightness of his glory, express image of his person. Oh, as we think about, yes, we rejoice that he was born. We rejoice that we have the record of his birth. And we're reading in Luke, God used a physician to give us the record of his birth. Okay? All right? And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. These angels went and they found exactly what the shepherds went and found exactly what the angel had told them. Okay? And they went on their way rejoicing. But what I want to use this morning for the balance of my time is glory to God in the highest. I appreciate, it was very interesting what Brother Thomas was saying about majesty. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that you can't fully describe God. That it's just a word that if we the better we understand God, the better we understand why we can't fully describe him. The majesty of him. But these angels said, Glory to God in the highest. That tells us something, doesn't it? That tells us that this is a great, great event. And the great event is that here is the incarnation of the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, the one that God had purposed from before the foundation of the world to send to save his people from their sins. Oh, as we think about glory to God in the highest. You see where they put this event. And not just because of the birth, but because of what it means that Jesus would accomplish when he came into this world. All right? So we find that, when we think about the angels, The angels deliver messages from heaven. They are not speaking of their opinion. You'll never find an angel saying, "Well, I think." No, they simply deliver the message. What do they say here? Glory to God in the highest. Well, you know, let me think about this for a minute. When God created the world, and when we read about the creation, that was pretty glorious, wasn't it? I mean, God made everything out of nothing. That's pretty glorious. But evidently, from the scriptures, it doesn't compare to this. The time that Israel was delivered out of Egypt, and the parting of the Red Sea, and how the children of Israel crossed over on dry land, and their enemies pursuing them, trying to capture them and bring them back to thwart the purpose of God. And they were drowned by the very thing that stood up in heaps to allow them to go past. That's pretty glorious. That's pretty amazing. That temple, or the tabernacle that they built, and the temple later, those were amazing. There was a lot of glory there. The Shekinah glory came down with God when he filled them with his presence. That's pretty glorious. But those things speak to us about his power, about his ability, about how he can intervene and accomplish things and bring things to pass. And yes, to us who are weak mortals, that's amazingly impressive. It's glorious to us. But those are also just natural things. Those are also things that just operate here in time. But what God sent his son to do, let's think about the glory of that for just a moment. That doesn't just speak. It was, to some degree, there's some power there in that he made a way for a virgin to bring forth a son. Man can't do that. Only God could do that. But when we understand what was being accomplished here, what in bringing the son, the for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, Emmanuel, God with us. God made him a body of flesh for a purpose. That's not the end of it. That's the purpose for him to do the work he was sent to do. And all of what God, what Christ was sent to do, involves the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God. When you think about what he did to send his son to save us from our sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By nature, we have no love for God. We have no interest in God. We have no desire for God. We have no desire to honor God. We have no desire to know anything about God. But God had mercy upon us, and by his grace, sent his son to save us. He had to reach down mighty low to get where I am. He reached all the way. He didn't reach part of the way and expect me to reach up out of the pit. He reached all the way down in his mercy and his grace. He reached all the way down to where we were, dead in trespasses and in sins. Incapable of knowing God, of loving God, and reconciling ourselves to God. That's what Jesus came to do. Paul said to Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He didn't try to. He didn't do part of the way and expect you to do the rest. he saved. That's what the angels proclaimed in another place, wasn't it? He shall, they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so, because God loved us, God so loved the world. There's another word we got to understand. He's not talking about the world without exception. He's talking about the world under consideration. The world that Jesus came to save. God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't just offer him. He didn't just do something and make it available if you'll just receive it. No, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're not talking about something that only was good for this world. Bless your hearts, we're talking about eternity. Lord Jesus Christ came to save his people for all eternity. And so we see in this, we see the love of God, we see the mercy of God, we see the grace of God being manifested in Emmanuel, God with us. And so he came. So the angels proclaimed glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The peace that is spoken of here, that peace is only what can be accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. The one that was born of the Virgin. The one that was the first, the only begotten of the Father. Okay? He's the only one that could be the sacrifice for our sins. I've known some mighty good folks. I'm looking at some mighty good folks. You've known some mighty good folks. But no matter how good they are in our interpretation of good in this world, we're all sinners. There's only one. As Peter would say, there's no other name given unto heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And so those glimpses in the scriptures of what Jesus would accomplish when he came. When Genesis 22, that wonderful picture there of how that Christ would be our substitute. It had to be him. This one that was born on this occasion that we're speaking of, this one who the angels proclaimed glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. Now he's not talking about the kind of peace that's between nations, because there's always been wars and there's always going to be wars and rumors of wars in this world. But the peace that Jesus brought was that when he became that offering for sin, God the Father would look down upon it. And as Isaiah 53 says, he would be satisfied. That's the peace that we're talking about. That's the peace that Jesus brought. When his blood paid in full the price for all the sins of all that he came to save, then he reconciled us to God. Then he made peace. All right? He made peace through the blood of his cross. He made peace when he shed his precious blood and paid the sin debt. Bless your heart. That's the peace that they were talking about. And that's an everlasting peace. And that's a peace that we have between God that hadn't happened, you know, once Adam and Eve sinned. And that peace was broken. Bless your hearts. It required the Son of God to come into this world, suffer and die, to redeem us, to shed his precious blood, to redeem us from our sin. That is glorious. That is not just glorious here. Although, aren't you glad this morning that we're blessed to understand the gospel, that we're blessed to understand the good news that Jesus did come, that he was born, that he did die, that he did shed his precious blood. He did save us from our sins. He rose from the dead. We're waiting. He's seated at the right hand of the Father there to make intercession for us right now. And we're waiting the time that he will come again to gather up all for whom he died and take us home to be with him forever. All those mighty things that God has done in this world are just for this world. But when Jesus came, bless your hearts, what he came to do was to save us from our sins, reconcile us to the Father, bring that peace that we might be with him forever. And I have to believe that it has something to do with why this is the most glorious thing there is. Because it's what reconciled us to the Father. And bless your hearts, it'll be the reason why we will be with him forever. Because that's what he purposed to do from the foundation of the world. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. May God bless you, is our prayer.